All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And we'll stop there without verse 8. Last Sunday, our scripture was 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Those are the last two verses in chapter 3. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And perhaps there shouldn't be a division right there, but I can understand that it is. 2 Timothy 4, our passage for today, describes Christianity in the U.S. today. I believe that people in America don't want Bible teaching. They don't want doctrine. Paul's words ring true today. In their own lusts, people seek new teaching. Perhaps their itching ears drive them to a place not as convicting as the place where the Bible is taught in power and truth. Listen, remember that inspiration in chapter 3, verse 16? There are consequences to the inspiration of Scripture, especially as it relates to God's people. For example, the Bible was given so that we might learn how to live in a Christian society. Christians are to edify the saints and to evangelize the lost. That's our job. Paul told Timothy that his job was to be an evangelist. He was to preach the word every chance he got. In season, out of season, Paul wrote, Timothy was to preach God's word and be consistent in his efforts. He was to strive earnestly to overcome hindrances and difficulties. There have been certain men that I've heard speculate on some of Timothy's physical infirmities. I don't know whether he had those or not. But regardless, he was to be consistent in his efforts. He was to strive earnestly to overcome hindrances and difficulties. In other words, Timothy was not to be slothful. I think this passage applies to you and me today. Often, we give up at the slightest opposition. Satan seeks to hinder us. We hesitate and to follow through with our God-given task. And we're soon wearied, even though we are called of God. Consequently, the gospel is hindered, especially if the preacher doesn't preach earnestly. And this earnestness applies both to the pastor and to the people. Preaching was to be Timothy's main business. So Paul charges him to preach, and in view of the coming Redeemer, Timothy was to be faithful. Christ is coming back, so preach the word, Preach the gospel in season, out of season. Timothy and Jerry and each of you. Oh, wait a minute. Dear people, Christ is coming back. You could say amen. Christ is coming back. In fact, Christ's return is nearer now than it was in Paul's day when he wrote this. It would be good if we were found doing right when Christ comes. But you say that you're not a God-called preacher. Maybe not. But neither are you to be ashamed of the gospel. You have friends. Do they know that you are Christian? Or do you hide your Christianity from them? I don't think that's true of anyone here. I hope not anyway. But still, we need to be to guard against that. And a good way to do that is to look at Paul's life. Paul was a Christian who was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Look at how Paul described himself in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. 2 Timothy 6 through 7. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 7. For now, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul knew that he was nearing the end of his earthly life. He was in his 60s, and in those days, 60 was old. 73 is old right now. 72, I don't know how old I am. 60 was old in those days, and Paul was right there. Linda agreed with me the other morning when I said, it's getting old out. It's getting old out. And it's getting old in too. And it is. I imagine Paul would agree with me when I say that growing old ain't for sissies. Paul was not a sissy. Look at his self-description. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul was a tough old bird. He was a fighter, a finisher, and a keeper. Fighter, finisher, keeper. That's my outline for this morning. Let's look first at how Paul was a fighter. From the moment he was saved to the end of his earthly life, Paul had to fight for the things that he believed. Let me tell you, Christian beliefs run counter to the world's beliefs. You could easily say amen to that if you wanted to. But just before his salvation, Paul was walking in accordance to the world and its ways. But after his salvation, Paul was turned around. I don't claim to be a Paul. Far from it. But that's the way it was with me. On this day, I was going that way. On the next day, I was going that way. And it's still that way. Salvation in Christ is the cause of such drastic changes in life. Charles Dunn was right when he wrote about the upstream Christian in a downstream world. I think I've talked about this before, but to be an upstream Christian, one must be a fighter. Paul was a fighter. God turned him around and made him go upstream against the world's downstream or way. God did that for Paul, and the world hasn't been the same since. Paul turned the known world on its head. I doubt that was Paul's intent, but I imagine it was God's purpose. And Christianity changed the world. Guess what? Christianity is still changing the world today. Maybe we don't see it as much as we did in the last century in America, but it's over in China and it's having an effect. It's in Russia and it's having an effect. They tried for 70 years to step out the church. The church won. The church is still going on over there. Now, the lost world doesn't like the Christian world. The lost world would rather rid itself of pesky little Christians. And I believe that Christians are fighters. Paul was a fighter. Each day he got out of bed before, each day we get out of bed before our toes hit the floor, we must have our battle gear on. Ephesians 6, note the word in Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We do that daily. We must have our battle gear on. Now, what does one do as he stands against the wiles of the devil? What does he do? Does he not fight? If you're standing against the wiles of the devil, you better be fighting. Or otherwise, he's going to roll all over you. We are fighters. Well, I'll say this. If you are a successful Christian, you are a fighter. Pugnacious all day long and all night too. Standing for the faith against the wiles of the devil. We are fighters like Paul was when Paul wrestled with the darkness of this world. As Paul fought against spiritual wickedness in high places, we do the same. And the wickedness in high places today is no less vicious than it was in Paul's day. If you don't believe as they do, the world, high place wickedness, if you don't believe as they do, they'll take your life away and have no qualms about doing it either. They cancel you today, and tomorrow they'll take your life away. The wiles of the devil are in play today in high places, and they play for keeps. Paul was a fighter. Number two, Paul was a finisher. I like this one. I like all three of them, really. Paul was a finisher. I have finished my course, he said. As a fighter, Paul didn't start out with a jaunty little step on the first day, only to give out on the second day. No, Paul kept going. He never lost sight of his goal. Galatians 6:9 tells us, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't you get that? Let us not be weary in well-doing. And I can see some of you already doing well every day during the week that I see you. I imagine the others are doing the same, that I just don't see them. tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Paul was out to finish the job. He would get her done, as the saying is. He wasn't a quitter. When things got tough and all the world seemed against Paul, Paul kept going. He finished the job. He looked down the road. His body was aching, I imagine. We'll talk about that in just a minute. When everyone else quit, Paul finished the job. Had he looked on the sad state of his affairs, perhaps Paul would have quit too. But Paul's eyes were on God, not on self. And that's the key right there. Oh, there I am. Note the word in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 27. Paul is describing his life, the things that he went through, the trials, the pains. Are they ministers of Christ? 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 27. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. For I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. I don't know that I could go through what Paul did and still continue on for Christ. But Paul did. He was a finisher. Paul overcame all that Satan and the world threw at him. He didn't give up. He kept going. And I believe all these sufferings made Paul stronger. Paul was a finisher. As he grew in grace, God gave him physical strength to continue on. Paul was able to continue when others would or could not. We do the same thing here, but our trials and hindrances are not what Paul's were. Nevertheless, we must continue on when things get tough. Some would say that the measure of a man is what it takes to stop him. Solomon, the wisest man on earth, once wrote, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Jerry, don't faint. Don't faint. I doubt Paul had to worry about that. In his worst days, Paul was still a finisher. He knew he had to get the job done, even when he was in a jail cell. Now, what is the thing that stops us? My cough. I admit that there are days when it seems that all the world is against me. But sometimes Somehow, I'm like the man from Muddlety. I muddle through. I don't know how, but I do. I guess it's getting up and going on. Like Paul didn't. I could give up. But what does the Bible say about that? Proverbs 6, 10 and 11. Would you like to have some sleep right now? Proverbs 6, what did I say? 10 and 11? Yeah, 10 and 11. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Then I say, let's turn over. Verse 11 says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Maybe it's not sleep that holds you back. Maybe it's someone at work who angered you, and you decided not to take it anymore. So you faint in the day of adversity, proving that your strength is small. That could be the case, or it could be a medical problem. You're not taking your meds, and you can't handle life anymore. That's what caused you to faint in the first place. But I say this, that each of us has problems. Each of us does. Some more than others. In those times of trouble, we must look to Jesus and keep on going. We don't dare think that we can handle life's present problems without Christ. Some people say, when you fall, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get back in the race. I say, when you fall, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, look to Christ, and only then do you get back in the race. You've got to have your mind on Christ if you're going to succeed. Okay, Paul was a fighter, Paul was a finisher, and number three, Paul was a keeper, a keeper. Linda's a keeper. But this is a different sense here. Paul said, I have kept the faith. He was a keeper. To be parallel with my other 2 points, I could have said, Paul was a faither. But that just doesn't sit right. Though he gets the point across. But Paul had faith, and he was a keeper. He kept the faith. He wasn't ashamed of his belief. And there he is in that dark, deep dungeon in Philippi when the clock struck midnight. Paul and Silas broke out, not out of jail, but they broke out in song, praising God for their situation. Paul was a keeper. He kept the faith. In the darkest hours of the day, he kept the faith. Paul's faith carried him on when he was in that dark, deep dungeon. Paul believed that God would get him out of that dungeon, and God did. Now, let's make this personal. A pastor once asked me, "How are you doing, Jerry?" I replied, considering the circumstances, not too bad. Well, he looked at me with a mischievous gleam in his eye and said, get out from under the circumstances and get going for Christ. Paul didn't let the circumstances keep him down. He kept going for Christ. And that's what we must do. And if you're about to fall off the spiritual deep end because of some circumstances or because someone screamed at you and wouldn't apologize to you, you do right anyway. You're not responsible for his bad deed, but you are responsible for how you respond to his bad deed. You can give up and not finish the job. You can give up and not keep the faith, or you can get going in the faith and continue to do right before God and before man. And get this. You're not responsible for my words. But you are responsible for how you respond to my words. And if my words support the Bible, then you respond to my words as if my words were Bible truth. As long as I'm in line with Bible. You put your eyes on God, and you do what he has called you to do. Paul was a fighter, a finisher, and a keeper. I believe that you and I are called to be the same as we travel this world. We're Christians. We're called to serve God as Paul was. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you in the name of Jesus again. We ask that you would help us during this time, that you would be with us in a special way, that you would draw your children to yourself, that you would give them your strength, that they would be fighters. Keepers, whatever the other one was, we pray that you would bless each one here and draw each one to yourself. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.